everybody. Welcome to the party with a nonsense. It's just a rap thing.
And we're back with episode 79 of The Sounds of Struggle. I am Chris Parrish, and I am solo this week as Maniac is cruising through the good parts of this world on a nice little boat cruise with Mrs. Maniac. And let me just tell you, I'm jealous because I am stuck here in the St. Albert area with wind that won't stop blowing, won't stop knocking trees over, and I'm a little sick and tired of it. But that's not gonna stop from this podcast being a lot of things. Hopefully it doesn't blow. And I don't know. I think I'm just going to divulge into my personal state of where I think the state of the WWE, NXT, maybe a little bit of... I'll go a little bit into hockey with the Edmonton Oilers. One thing about hockey I do want to talk about is the Washington Capitals are your Stanley Cup champions. And my God, does Alex Ovechkin know how to party. I believe he is still on that Stanley Cup bender that he's going on. A lot of drunk Ovi celebration videos circulating online, and let me tell you, a lot of people are giving him smack about, oh, you should act like you've been there. Well, guess what? He hasn't been there before, and he is enjoying what may or may not be his only time as Stanley Cup champion, so let him enjoy it. He, of all people, has earned it. Alexander Ovechkin, Washington Capitals, congratulations. First Stanley Cup in franchise history. And let me tell you something. This, I believe, puts him as a for sure you can't even argue this. He is a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. One of the best pure goal scorers of this generation. Might even be one of the greatest Russian-born hockey a hockey player scores of all time. So, and this is coming from a Pavel Bure fan. So let me tell you, Alexander Ovechkin is more than deserving. Might actually even be one of the best pure goal scorers we've ever seen in hockey. And just the fact that he is, I believe, 32, 33 years old now, and he still shows the same excitement scoring a goal now as he did when he was 18. It's just absolutely mind-blowing and very impressive. And for all the little kids out there who want to dream to be a hockey player, Alexander Ovechkin might actually be the best player you can watch, because that guy is absolutely still understanding how much fun you need to play the game. Yes, he's making millions. Yes, there's a lot of a lot of pressure that comes in being him year after year. The Capitals choking, not performing to where they need to in the playoffs, finally getting it, but he still is having fun and is celebrating like he's a child who won the Stanley Cups and all of our dreams and all that. You gotta always remember, growing up as a Canadian kid, whether you're just shooting on an empty net on your driveway, pretending like it's Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals, you're an OT and you are scoring the game-winning goal. Alexander Ovechkin scored 15 goals in the Stanley Cup Finals. Got a goal in the game that decided the Stanley Cup for him. So he has to be on cloud nine. And a big congratulations goes out to the Washington Capitals and Ovechkin. If I was Ovechkin, and I'm hearing all the people tell him to act smarter, DX, two words, suck it. He's earned that right to do whatever he wants to do. The hardest trophy in sports is now something he gets to lift up whenever he wants, so congratulations. Moving on, we'll talk a little about basketball. Golden State defeated the Cleveland Cavs, and now we move on to wrestling. Yes, everyone, I told you a little bit about basketball. Don't care about basketball. Tried to watch it. Couldn't. Don't care. So moving on to wrestling. Very excited this week. This Saturday is NXT Chicago. TakeOver Chicago, that is. And then this Sunday is Money in the Bank. And let me tell you something. I just watched Raw last night. Yes, I'm recording on Tuesday this week. So it is the 11th of June that I'm recording. And let me tell you something. I actually very much enjoyed Raw. I thought it was way better than last week. I have a couple criticisms on the way it is. Like, I thought the Nia Jax Ronda Rousey angle was awesome. I enjoyed it. I'd prefer if they would have done much more of that last week, with having maybe Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax have that one-on-one altercation where maybe she does go for the armbar, Nia Jax picks her up, slams her down, and a statement maybe is made of what could Ronda Rousey, like, what can she do? Can she even take the mere power of Nia Jax? How is she going to, like, factor that in this week? She does get the armbar in. Nia Jax does tap out. I like the story that the announcers are going with, was saying now she can do that. Now she could do it this Sunday. But what I hated about it is after she tapped Nia Jax out, ever decided it was a good idea, they rang the bell like it was the end of a match. It absolutely infuriated me. I do not understand why you needed that bell. It just made no sense. It wasn't a match. It was a statement. If anything, it made me want to see that match more than anything now. And then it just was one of those things of, I just don't understand why you needed the bell. It just made it look stupid. Just enjoy the fact that you actually had a segment with Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax, or people, I, in my eyes, do not want to see this match, because she's showing, hey, look, I can slay the big monster Nia Jax. But you know what? Now the question is, can I do it this Sunday? I've always loved that story of the babyface. Well, they're both babyfaces. But, you know, I think Nia Jax is going to play more of a darker character. Well, let's just say she'll be playing more the veteran, obviously. But she's the one willing to say, hey, listen, kid, you know, yeah, you might be good. You might be new here. You might be the hot thing going right now. But let me tell you something. There's in and outs of this business that I know that you don't know. I'm willing to do it because I'm the champion. You're not. And she even said that. She's like, we headbutt. We hair pull. We do the knees on the ground. We do the, you know, the 12 and 6 elbows, the up and down elbows that you're not allowed to do in MMA and UFC. And she's like, I'm willing to do that. You know, what are you going to do when you see that? They can take you off your game plan. So I like that story. I like that. I just wish they did more of that instead of 1 week before the pay-per-view, before the go-home episode of Raw. Because I do think that if you give these girls that time and that patience, you could have got something great with it. And I'm interested after watching that segment again. I just wish that they, when I say they, the WWE can understand, look, we know that she's green, there's a lot to work with here, but you know, we got to take her wins step by step. We can't force things. We can't, if you want to see what happens when you try to force something and it doesn't work, just look at Roman Reigns, for example. But at the same time, Ronda Rousey has a lot more going for before WWE that the fans do legitimately like about her. That's why she gets the ovations she does when her music plays. So just, you know, baby steps with your wins here. And then the bigger your wins can be down the road, the more wait for them to combine with each other, I mean, the better off you'll be. You look at Trish Stratus as an example, not someone who was, you know, a good worker right away. It took her time to get there. And then when she got that confidence in the ring, you saw it with her character outside. And then you can put her in these angles, like the romantic one with Jericho, where she turns on him, joins Christian, and just, you know, where she became more of that bitch that, you know, I mean, at first you didn't think she could do that, and then she did, and then it was great, and you just saw that, character come full circle throughout the whole thing, and eventually you'll get there with Ronda Rousey. You just gotta be patient, and you can't force things. Just because she's hot now doesn't mean, she can't be hot in a couple years from now. There has to be a long-term plan for developing, Ronda Rousey, so, That's kind of like what I would want to do. So, hopefully they don't, you know, pull the trigger on Ronda Rousey yet. I don't think that's the right move. Plus, I just don't see what it does for Nia Jax moving forward. And I'll get to Nia Jax right now, because I am not convinced that she is the right person to hold that Raw Women's title. I say that simply because ever since she won that woman's title from Alexa Bliss at WrestleMania, I don't think I can actually tell you one thing she has done to make that title more significant since she's had it. So my plan of attack moving forward with her is find a way, and maybe this Money in the Bank match is the perfect way, but you got to find a way to take the title off her. As much as people want to say that Dolph Ziggler had that back and forth, you wanted to get on his side, but then he just didn't get the wins. Now I don't know if he's the guy that can always win, because he was always the guy that lost. I kind of see that same mentality with the booking of Nia Jax. You want to get behind the big power, or the power monster of Nia Jax. She had her weight announced because they wanted to show you just so you know how big she was. And then you get the emotional Nia Jax, which I think, as much as, yeah, that humanized her a bit, and you maybe got a little bit of sympathy for her, you also have to realize, if you want to make her a monster again, these things are always going to come back with her. So, eventually she's going to be that big monster once again, and I just don't see how her losing this title in a way then makes her tap out or anything like that does it, because you kind of lose that credibility as a fan. It's just that perception of Nia Jax. So moving forward, I think you got to take the title off her just so you can maybe it's just a long-term booking thing of then you can then be a little bit more understandable that, hey, like, she can be like that Braun Strowman type of the women division. But I mean, you look at Braun Strowman, he doesn't need the universal title to get that point across, and I don't think Nia Jax does either. I think right now you're just making every other girl look, you know, maybe half to three quarters to what they can look with Nia Jax as champion. So might be better off just to find somebody else with it, give her, you know, those wins where, you know, she just makes maybe the lower end, the talent there look. I mean, you need your Kurt Hawkins, you need your Heath Slaters of the women division just as much as you have them on the men's side. So this is how you make these women look good. And unfortunately, with WWE, the amount of time you got on Raw with the pay-per-views, I mean, a lot of matches are either that or you need just more angles. So but yeah, that's kind of my two cents on those two girls. Kind of gonna break down the participants from the Raw side for the women. We got Ember Moon, we got Natalia, we got Sasha Banks, and trying to now think who the fourth woman on the women's side is. Oh yeah, Alexa Bliss. So with Alexa Bliss, she pretty much has been women's champion, whether it's from the SmackDown or Raw side, for the better part of a year and a half. So I don't know if going right back to that does that division any justice or any favors, maybe is a better word, because you can't always go back to the well. Plus, you're not helping out the other girls. I really like that Natalia got that win in the Fatal 4-Way. I thought that was a great match. All four girls actually looked better coming out of it. I thought Alexa Bliss shined hard with the aggression that she showed. I thought Natalia showed a lot with just, no pun intended, but the heart she put in. And that her veteran instincts came to play to win that match. And Ember Moon looked really good because she just showed a lot of her, the flair from her offense. So I like that aspect. And then you saw Sasha Banks, who, yeah, she took the bumps that she is known to take. Yeah, some of them looked very like cringeworthy, but at the end of the day, that's just how she is. So I thought Sasha Banks could have gotten a little bit more into this match. But at the end of the day, she didn't lose it, she didn't win it, so she's no better off, nor she is any worse off from this match. It's hard to say. But I do see her in a state of flux right now. I'm not sure if there's a legitimate direction with her. I know I've been hearing a lot of rumors about the potential Sasha versus Bayley in Brooklyn at SummerSlam match. So maybe that's a direction they go. But if that's the case, then they need to act now, because I think there's a lot of work if you want to make that average fan truly get behind this feud again. You need to put in some time. So I look for something to happen with Sasha Banks, possibly Bayley, this Sunday at Money in the Bank. I'm very curious if it's a Bayley choosing to turn on Sasha. For me, I'd rather see Sasha be more aggressive here, because I think she's better suited for the heel role. But again, I'm also very excited to see what a darker Bayley would give. So either way, I think as long as they give this some time to kind of get going, I'm okay with that being a match for SummerSlam. And I do think they're the better two for one another to help each other in the long run too, because they do have great matches, and eventually that's going to get them that recognition and that attention again. So that's something that I could use. As far as Natalya, I do love the fact that she got the win here. I do think that helps her a lot going into to Money in the Bank. You had that kind of injury angle last week where, you know, she hurt her, I don't know if it was her knee or her foot, her ankle. But either way, it was one of those things where she got a little bit of sympathy last week, but at the end of the day, she actually cemented herself and her place in women's division that, yeah, she had that win just to remind every other competitor that, look, it doesn't matter if you're the new girl with the fiery offense in Ember, or if you're the champion that's been dominant in Alexa, or you're the boss in Sasha, or if you're, anybody else. It's one of those things where she put that statement in and be like, look, if you forget about me, this is what I can do. I will win the match. And I do think she's actually more of a favorite to win Money in the Bank than a lot of people might think or even want, because I don't think Natalya is the popular choice right now. But at the end of the day, if you want to care more about Ronda Rousey, Natalya might actually be the best one for that. So I do think that there's actually some money in there to be made between the Ronda Rousey and Natalya feud. I would say look for that. I'd be very excited for that, because at least Ronda actually has a very, very solid worker to work with to guide her through a good match. The only thing I question there is Natalya enough from a character and personality point to make you care that much. I don't know if she's the aggressive heel you need, or if she's, you need like a Sami Zayn type heel for that to work. I think to work. So, now as far as Alexa Bliss goes, I know we kind of talked about her and like where we kind of think, what we want to see. I actually really would like her to keep being paired up with Mickie James, and perhaps that's something that you can kind of flip to the babyface side, and then you can actually have them step up to the Riot Squad. And that kind of can bring me out of, okay, well, who else can they have on their side? And that brings me to the Ember Moon. Because I think those six girls, there's a lot to do with those six girls. You can have Ember Moon and Ruby Riott kind of be your focal point there in terms of your main match. Or you can have Alexa Bliss and maybe Liv Morgan and kind of have them say, have them have that match of who's a better Harley Quinn knockoff. I don't know. my vote's on Alexa Bliss, but I'm just, you know, maybe I'm a little bit biased on that one, but yeah, and then it could also help the Sarah Logans of the world, and I think Mickie James would be a really good fit for that, because you got that seasoned veteran in Mickie James, to kind of help guide that whole thing, and I think that'd be a really good situation for all six, and there you go, you already have three, four feuds right there, just on the women's side alone, and that just shows you the depth that they actually do have on Monday Night Raw. As far as the SmackDown girls, so on the four you have representing in the Money in the Bank match are Lana, Naomi, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte. And this is kind of where I'm just kind of roll my eyes with, because I just don't know if Lana is the right one to put in a ladder match on the SmackDown side. And I say, I'm like, you could have put Sonya Deville, you could have put a Mandy Rose, even though I can understand the argument to, if you don't want to put Lana, why put Mandy Rose? Sure, but then you also have Billie Kay and who's the other one? You got Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, the Iconic Duo, or the Iconics, whatever they want to be called. Yeah, you could put one of them also in that match. My choice would be the Peyton Royce. I think there's more money to be made with her kind of as your kind of lead in that duo. But I just don't. I only think the only way Lana could get that win is if it's your kind of the same story you told last year with Carmella winning. She's the dark horse that won, but I just don't know if you want to play that again this year, or it's one of those where the angle's going to be her and Rusev are both Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Bank, which I know I can see. But I just don't know if it's the right move. And then we have Naomi, who she's in, I think, kind of in a weird spot here, because what is she actually going to, you know, where does she fit on the woman's end? Because she's really only in the feud that has the Usos, like, she only kind of follows Usos right now, and there's kind of, like, that Usos against Aiden English and Rusev, and then you have Lana and Naomi, but the problem with that is that Naomi is clearly the face of the women, whereas Rusev is clearly the more over baby face of the men, so I just don't see an equal playing field here, because on one end, you have the Usos, who I think are better served as heels, especially with the plethora of babyface tags on SmackDown. And then the most logical sense here, I think, would be Naomi to turn the glow off and tell the fans that they didn't appreciate her glow. So in her eyes, she's gonna now bring them the darkness, and that's not a joke based on the fact that she's a black female or anything. It's just one of those where she's now saying, you didn't like the bright lights I gave you in the glow, so I'm gonna go to the other side now, which happens to be more of an aggressive, a darker side, to where, look, I'm not going to care about making you happy. I'm going to care about just making me happy. And all I care about is being the women's champion. So, I mean, I can get behind a heel Naomi. But she just has to be mean. And she has to be aggressive in that way. So that would be my long-term goal. I mean, and then I could see a heel Naomi against a babyface Lana. And then the Aiden English and Rusev tag as baby faces could actually start to finally take that next level and pay off. Or you could go into another tag. But as far as the other two girls in that match, you got Becky Lynch and Charlotte. I'm not too sure out of these two girls who I want to see more of a heel, because I know that Charlotte is a better heel as she is a babyface. I even see a lot of heel tendencies in Charlotte as a babyface, and in a way that kind of puts me off on Charlotte a little bit. Well, I look at Becky Lynch, and I love the work she does as a babyface. I actually do think she's the best female wrestler in WWE right now. A lot of me thinks a heel Becky Lynch might just be the best thing for her moving forward and in the long run. So, I don't know, to me that's a tough one. Or, do I look at, having them feud with the Iconics for a bit? I don't know. So I think the Iconic route might be the best way, especially if you want to continue on with Asuka and Carmella. But again, part of me also kind of wants to see heel Becky going against an Asuka in that situation, because I think that mix of a matchup might be just really good. But I don't see how you can turn Becky Lynch heel right now without an immediate program with Charlotte. So, yeah, you're conflicted, but and that, right now I just don't know if I want to see another Charlotte-Becky Lynch match, per se. Not like there's anything wrong, it's just something I haven't seen. I want to see something more fresh, so, yeah. As far as the Charlotte-Asuka match is concerned, I really would like to see Carmella somehow find a way to walk out as champion still. I do think it makes a lot more sense for this Money in the Bank thing to be more on the Raw side than the SmackDown side. I like to see more of that story, kind of Carmella is clearly the female that shouldn't be champion but is champion, and because she's champion, it kind of angers you that, there's people like the Beckys, the Charlottes, the Oscars, and they're not the champions. So, just having a swig of beer here. But with that being said, it's one of those things where I love the story that they're playing with Carmella, and her just being over the top gives her that platform to show that there's more to her than what we see before, and it really kind of puts in that phase. I'm hearing rumors that, the WWE might bring in James Ellsworth once again for this Money in the Bank. I really hope that's not true, because I just don't see it helping anyone out. I don't see where James Ellsworth, I just don't think he has a place right now in this time frame on the WWE roster. So I'm just going to say no thanks to that. I wouldn't see him helping out anyone. I don't see him helping out Carmella. I don't see him helping out Asuka or Charlotte or Becky or any other female. So that being said, yeah, maybe I would for the time being just see that Asuka-Carmella story kind of continuing with kind of the Iconics maybe helping Carmella win, thus bringing in your Charlotte and Becky Lynch, and maybe you have that tag team feud. And that wouldn't be too bad, because it'd be a good way to include all these women. And then, again, you have three angles for the women on the SmackDown side, which is plenty for a two-hour show. And then you can continuously have Paige against the Sonya and the Mandy Rose on SmackDown. I do like that kind of how they expected that Paige was going to just completely give them whatever they want because of their past on Raw and from the Absolution days. But now that Absolution is done, there's no more. I do like the fact that they're kind of stepping out on their own. But eventually they do need their own direction. They can't be the female version of the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I think that story is just so faded out already that it's only lazy in my eyes to rehash that. And I don't think that these two women are as good as a Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens, where you're going to want to care about that. And let's face it, Paige ain't coming back to wrestle right now, so there's no payoff. So something needs to be done, and maybe it's just a little bit of creativity there. But yeah. So anyway, moving on to other matches. We got one heavyweight championship match, but whether it was Universal or the WWE title, and that's Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles. And I'm actually wanting to see Shinsuke Nakamura walk out with the WWE title this time. And I want to see it in a way where you find a way to take AJ away from the WWE title. And maybe that is actually a Samoa Joe. Maybe Samoa Joe is the one that costs AJ Styles the match. And then you can go the AJ Styles Samoa Joe SummerSlam route. And I would be completely okay with that. And I think the benefit to this is that if Shinsuke walks out with the title, you actually don't kind of put that stake in the heart of what are we doing with Shinsuke topic. You actually have a long-term direction, because if he was going to win the Royal Rumble in January, lose at WrestleMania in April, now we're in June, kind of having that continuation from WrestleMania. You need to have that next direction. And yes, he has turned heel, and now he's kind of going in that route. But maybe having him and whether it's a Daniel Bryan kind of go after the WWE title, or if it's like a Randy Orton who maybe comes back, or if it's another babyface. But I think it'd be very beneficial to Shinsuke in the long haul to have that WWE title. And I don't think necessarily it hurts AJ Styles, because if you can get a good feud like Samoa Joe in there, something that fans do want to see, I think they'll be okay if that feud doesn't have a WWE championship around it. And speaking of Daniel Bryan, that goes to the big cast Daniel Bryan match. I really do hope that this is the last match out of this one, because I do not see a need to have a third match between these two. I don't see the need of big casts going on for another month or two talking about how he doesn't like Daniel Bryan because he's not as big as big cast. I think that's just a faded out storyline. I think big cast is not getting enough out of this with this story. So plus it's, you know, it's nothing new against Daniel Bryan. I mean, Daniel Bryan has been told that he's been too small and he wasn't going to measure up for a while now. Even back before he had to retire, this was the hate on Daniel Bryan from a storyline angle. He was a B-plus player. He wasn't the 6'5", 7", or 280-pound guy who's ripped, and he wasn't that prototype look that WWE needed. But he was that underdog that the fans loved, and he won the title because of it. It's just, I think you can get a better story there with Daniel Bryan. And maybe it's a feud with Shinsuke, because you know Shinsuke is not going to use that as to why he doesn't like Daniel Bryan. Maybe he talks about how Daniel Bryan needs the fans as much as the fans need him, or something like that. I don't know. But all I know is that there is something to be done with those two guys that people would want to see. And I think that would be a SummerSlam main event type quality match. So, yeah, that's that's kind of where I would go. And I can understand the confusion with WWE standpoint of like, okay, if Daniel Bryan hasn't re-signed yet, how do we use him? Like, should we use him as the top guy? Because we just don't want him leaving while he's in this top guy role. And that's completely understandable from WWE. So, I think that's a big important step WWE needs to take. I personally hope that they can find a deal where it makes sense that they allow Daniel Bryan to maybe do an All-In appearance. And then that in turn would make him just a little bit bigger of a star coming back to WWE. But, you know, after All-In, he is a WWE guy and he can just do All-In the one time, because let's face it, that show is going to be a very big show for the world of pro wrestling, and Daniel Bryan would definitely stands to benefit from the opportunity of getting to do that show. Not to mention, I think WWE stands to benefit from having some part to play in having Daniel Bryan do that. And if Daniel Bryan comes back as the guy who just competed in All In as well, he can bring that buzz back to the WWE, and then WWE would have that little perception that, you know, they get that there's something else going on, and they're willing to play ball as well. In terms of other competitors on SmackDown, like, we have the four from the ladder match, which are, I believe it is Rusev being one who I really hope they can find a place for him, but I think that place needs to be on the babyface end, because I do think that, you know, they stand to benefit from having a Rusev Day celebration, like just having the fans chant Rusev Day. They have something organic that they should go with on that, but I'm not too sure. Right now needs that title. I don't think the way for him to get the title is through a Money in the Bank. Maybe it's through a Royal Rumble or something else. Something to where he actually gets a proper push, a proper, maybe a proper, storyline to where the fans can see that he has, you know, dug deep and earned it. Even though a lot of the fans think he earns it now, but if he turns babyface, there's going to be new challenges and new obstacles he has to make. And maybe even if it's that feud with The Miz first that gets him there, that could be a good thing. And then if he does something with The Miz, he can always do Miz and Maurice against Lana Rusev, and that wouldn't be that bad, to be honest. So, be interesting to see what they do with Rusev, if they do pull the trigger on his babyface run, because I think it's something they just need to do and need to capitalize on. So, and that even brings me back to The Miz, because it gives The Miz a direction as well. A lot of people says The Miz needs the Money in the Bank, and I'm like, I just don't know if he does, because when I look at it right now, The Miz is slated as your number two heel on the SmackDown side. So if, hypothetically, Shinsuke Nakamura is not in the title hunt as your top heel, you very well could see The Miz right there. Because I don't think you'll want Miz necessarily as your United States champion. You very well might actually want him there. But at the end of the day, he might be best suited to be your in that title hunt right now, because he is one of your better performers. So, I mean, not a lot of people can cut a promo like The Miz. He can carry a feud by himself on the mic. I don't know. Might even be better suited for him just to be patient. And to just, you know, wait till, you know, his time comes. Because I don't think he needs a Money in the Bank for that. I think the Money in the Bank should be used to create that new star. And not that reason just to put some guy back into that position right away. And then you look at who's going to be the member of the New Day in that Money in the Bank, and we kind of get to the New Day. I don't think I've been pretty honest that I think it'd be nice to see the New Day kind of just do some of their own stuff. It wouldn't be bad to see the New Day kind of be less of a three-man group all the time, where they have to do six-man matches and they're all doing everything together. To, you know, why can't you have Big E doing his thing over there while you have Kofi and Xavier doing their thing in the tag division, and they can, you know, just come back and stuff like that. I don't necessarily see why they always have to be around each other and still be a group, but maybe that's just what they have. I think I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of New Day taking things that a little bit more serious, and maybe even turning them heel again. I wouldn't mind freshening that angle up. I think that would they have what it takes to be a heel group. And with that, you can really take over that tag division, and then even that kind of mid-card spot with the U.S. title and kind of scenario. I don't see anyone from New Day actually winning Money in the Bank, but at the same time, I think a change for them to where they either kind of something like a fresh turn or a... you know, maybe even if it is a split, could add a lot to not only the three as individuals, but just from the show as a whole too, because now you have something completely new to talk about. I don't think anybody is complaining that Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns are not together right now, because Seth Rollins is probably hotter than he's ever been. Maybe Roman Reigns benefit more from the Shield, just because he'd actually be cheered for one. But you take them away, you kind of give them that, you know, just let them have a chance of reinventing themselves a little bit, and just gives them a little bit more oh my god, I mean, I love these guys kind of an attitude and perception on the fans, because it's one of those you won't know how much you love them until it's gone kind of a scenario. And I know I can't wait for Dean Ambrose to come back. So maybe you can just limit the amount of times you see New Day, and maybe that'll help. But I do think something fresh to come out of them would be benefited. I do hope it is Big E that's in some Money in the Bank match. I'd love to see him actually have that chance on his own, just to kind of see what he got. I mean, you saw him on his own in NXT, and he did quite well, so maybe that's just the direction you go, and you can actually give Big E a chance to see what he can do on his own, and maybe you'll like that moving forward, because eventually you do have to see what you have in these three guys, and eventually you do want to see what they can do when they're not necessarily together. So that could be a direction you take moving forward. And then that brings me to Samoa Joe. And I think Samoa Joe can play a heavy part in this Money in the Bank match. And I do think SmackDown is a better fit for him to be a top guy. So maybe that's... maybe this is a match for him. Maybe this is the match where Samoa Joe can take Money in the Bank, and he got, maybe it's a thing where he wins Money in the Bank, and just because he can, he takes out AJ Styles from that title picture, because I can see Samoa Joe being that patient hitman kind of esque with the briefcase, knowing, okay, I got my shot. As soon as I see my shot, I take it. But, you know, I'm smart enough to know that, you know, I don't have to take it now. I can take it down the road. And you see kind of more of that. Kind of when Randy Orton won it, you saw him always kind of come down to the ring. Kind of remind the champion that, hey, no matter what you do, I'm watching you. I'm gonna make sure that when you're at your most vulnerable, I got you. Just make sure that you have eyes in the back of your head, because I'm always going to be watching you. So maybe that's something they do with Joe. I don't know. But that is kind of the direction I would put. I would love to see Samoa Joe be champion. I don't know, Royal Rumble-ish? Maybe that's the time frame I would do it. I don't know. So, yeah. So and then you kind of have the four men on the Raw side, and the Braun Strowman, the Bobby Roode, the Kevin Owens, and the Finn Balor. And then you kind of look about, you know, what are they going to do in the four over there? And then I look at Bobby Roode, and I would more or less love to see him kind of having that ability to show, like, when he was the Bobby Roode of NXT, and he was a champion, but at the same time, he wasn't the, you know, the number one babyface. He was more of a heel when he played that business type. I always thought a great role for Bobby Roode would be a kind of a chosen one from Triple H. More of an authority kind of type personality, to where he's an over-top character when he's in the ring. There, cue the glorious, but, you know, he's, you know, a very ferocious businessman outside of the ring. So I see a lot of traits in him that I like from a heel standpoint, much better than a babyface. So, I would definitely want to turn him heel and have him be more of that. Kind of, maybe he could be your modern-day DiBiase. I don't know. But, I mean, I see a lot of traits in him where, as a heel, I mean, I like it. I like that idea of it a lot. So, then it goes to Finn Balor, and I would definitely love if Finn Balor won Money in the Bank and chose to move to SmackDown. I was really hoping Finn Balor would be SmackDown bound by the Superstar Shakeup. I thought it would make a lot of sense, especially by moving Gallows and Anderson over as well. So I don't know. But yeah, Finn Balor is definitely someone who I don't know if Raw is the best fit for him right now. I think he gets lost in the shuffle when it comes down to the main event spot. And I really do think that when it comes down to it, he's better suited at the Intercontinental level. I do see him being the next one in line from a babyface standpoint to win the Intercontinental title if Elias is to win the Intercontinental title. If he stays on Raw, that's exactly where I think Finn Balor should be, is going after that Intercontinental title. If he is the one to win Money in the Bank, I'd hope he takes that and moves to SmackDown and goes after that. Maybe we see Finn Balor and Nakamura. That would be very fresh, and that'd be very interesting as well. So that takes me to Braun Strowman. And from a long-term stand, I would love to see Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar. And you don't necessarily need that for the WWE title. But at some point, I'd love to see these two mix it up again. I do think Braun Strowman makes the most sense to take the title off Brock. And I just think it's his time right now. I think you got to roll with him. Strike while the iron's hot, kind of the thing. And right now, Braun Strowman is the hot man on campus, and you need to take advantage of the peak of his popularity. With that said, that takes me to the fourth and final game, which is Kevin Owens. And I've previously said that I'd love to see Kevin Owens win Money in the Bank just because it gives him that kind of leap back into the title feud. But at the same time, I really like what he's doing on Raw. And I don't necessarily see it as a bad thing if he comes out of it not as the winner. I'd also love to see a Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins kind of feud for a bit. And maybe that's kind of something you see. And maybe it's maybe something you can toy with. So, I don't know. That's something I would say. And that kind of takes me to the Intercontinental title match between Elias and Seth Rollins. And again, like Seth Rollins, I think this is his time that you clearly understand that he is the hottest he's ever been. He is stealing the show almost every time on Monday Night Raw. But with that being said, I think it's time now where you start thinking about pushing him back into that title picture, and I think that needs to happen sooner than later. With that said, you need to find that guy to take the Intercontinental title off, and I think the perfect guy is Elias. I think he is destined for that opportunity to wear gold, and I think it makes a lot of sense for him to win the Intercontinental title at Money in the Bank. And by no means do I think Seth and Elias are over after Money in the Bank, because if Elias does win Money in the Bank, I can see that being a great reason to why maybe a Jason Jordan can come back and screw Seth Rollins out of the Intercontinental Championship. And then maybe, just maybe down the road, you can look at maybe putting Jordan back with Gable and having Jordan and Gable going against Rollins and what might appear to be Roman ends up being Dean Ambrose, the returning Dean Ambrose, because I think there's money in that as well. And maybe down the road you can see a potential Kurt Angle Roman Reigns feud, and maybe you're looking at potential Survivor Series or even WrestleMania match of maybe a new and improved Team Angle versus the Shield. I don't know. Could be something there. We saw the experiment of Jason Jordan not really working. He was pretty much rejected from the fans and booed a lot from the fans. So maybe Jason Jordan could be a catalyst of actually having fans cheer Roman Reigns. I don't know. But a little food for thought on that one. I don't think that's a bad idea. That kind of brings me to the U.S. title. Jeff Hardy, not too sure what's going on with Jeff Hardy, but I do think he was a good person to have bring the U.S. title to SmackDown. I would love to see SmackDown use Ty Dillinger more, and perhaps a heel turn from Ty Dillinger helps you find your next suitable United States champion. And then maybe I think there's something to be said about a potential alliance between Miz and Ty Dillinger. Whether find whatever combination you want between awesome and perfect, but I think there's something to be made there between the two, and I do think that there's something to be done with a heel Ty Dillinger, and I do think what better way than to put him right there with a Jeff Hardy. Fans love Jeff Hardy. That only stands to maybe help them hate Ty Dillinger, and then you have your you have another heel on your mid-card. And I do think that's kind of where SmackDown does lack right now, is your mid-card spot. And yet, maybe just having an up-and-coming Ty Dillinger might help the kind of that depth of that. So, Another match on Monday Night Raw is the, Money in the Bank. It's Roman Reigns and Jinder Mahal. And finding out the long-term plan of what you want to do with those. I honestly don't think I would dislike a possible Jinder Bobby Lashley feud, to be honest. Right now you look at kind of where Sami Zayn is slotted, and you look at Bobby Lashley, and if you look at Jinder Mahal, has the Roman Reigns match at Money in the Bank, while Bobby Lashley has Sami Zayn. And I think more people look at Roman Reigns as being more of a main event guy than Sami Zayn. So if Bobby Lashley is to go from Sami Zayn to Jinder Mahal, well, I can only assume that, you know, that's a step up for him. So maybe that's a match you kind of go with, and then you can that's kind of like your kind of next feud for Bobby Lashley. And in the same time, if you know you do that with maybe in the time being you go from you kind of just flop those, and maybe Sami Zayn does something with Roman Reigns up until maybe that that SummerSlam Rumble Mania kind of thing, where you do that Shield versus Team Angle kind of a concept. I don't know, but I do like the idea of having Sami Zayn against Roman Reigns. I think that's a match that I would like to see. So, just trying to think if there's any other matches I missed on Money in the Bank. I'm not too sure. I'm not looking at the match listings right now. But I think I covered everything. I'm going to take the time to look, but at the same time, I'll kind of break down more of maybe NXT right now. And I'm looking at the matches we know that are a TakeOver Chicago. The main event. Maybe it's not the main event, but it's the NXT title. That's Lars Sullivan versus Aleister Black. I do think Aleister Black wins this match. But with that being said, I don't see them just doing nothing for Lars Sullivan. I know they want to do something with Lars Sullivan moving forward, but I just don't know if the NXT title is where it is. I preferably would love to see the next NXT TakeOver an Aleister Black versus Tommaso Ciampa match, where that's the next guy you put the title on, and then you can have Aleister Black in the Royal Rumble. That, to me, would be a great direction for Aleister Black. And then you have your direction for Tommaso Ciampa. In terms of what I would do with Lars Sullivan, you know, I'd love to say I have a clue, but I just don't. Because I thought I'd always wanted to see, like, I actually wanted to see Lars Sullivan against Killian Dane. But we just never got that, so. I don't have any explanations for what I would do with Lars Sullivan right now. I don't know who is a top big. Whoever would be a top big man in NXT from a face side would be my logical choice. Not really too sure. Also, now that I'm pulling up the Money in the Bank, I'm just going to quickly finish that off with the SmackDown Tag Team Title match between the Bludgeon Brothers and Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. I'd like to see this continue and maybe have them have another match moving forward. So maybe I, for this time, do swap the titles, put them on Gallows and Anderson for a bit, and then have the Bludgeon Brothers kind of come back and want their rematch. So moving forward, that would be something I'd like too. And then With that being said, maybe you can do your... I also wouldn't mind Gallows and Anderson and AJ going up against New Day. I think that would be something fans might want to see as well. So even if Bludgeon Brothers were to win, and then you can kind of do something there with New Day and AJ and the Good Brothers, or have the Good Brothers win the tag titles, and maybe that's the reason why they do something with New Day, and then kind of factor in the rest from there. I don't know, but yeah, maybe long term that's where I see them. But I wouldn't mind also seeing Gallows and Anderson be kind of heels again either, especially on that SmackDown side where you're so heel needed on the tag division. So yeah, that's just potential. Now going back to the NXT TakeOver, I look at kind of the Velveteen Dream and Ricochet. And right now I look at Velveteen Dream is on a roll. And to be honest, I don't see the reason why you need to end this right away. You can even have one match, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's the only match. I mean, we look at Gargano and Ciampa as being prime example of this, where maybe you can just have a series, and maybe this kind of goes into your, you know, whatever you can do, I can do better kind of a story, where you can have a nice back and forth match, but at the end of the day, maybe it does take Ricochet something incredible to pull out the win, but then that doesn't sit well with Velveteen Dream, and he can then, I don't know, like, I wouldn't mind seeing this turn into more of a best 2 out of 3 fall scenario at a further takeover, because I do think this match is going to be off the charts good and exceed expectations to the point where it just makes sense to do it again. That takes me to Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. I do hope that Tommaso Ciampa wins this match. I think he needs to win this match. I do think a big payoff needs to happen here. I also do think it's better suited that Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano are not on the same show. And with that being said, I would love to see Johnny Gargano move up here. And maybe we see something big between Candice and Johnny, where we've already seen Candice not approve of this match with Tommaso Ciampa, and says she's not going to be there to support her husband in this match. Maybe, just maybe, she's the one that costs Johnny Gargano this match. And we see we've seen accidentally Johnny Gargano be the reason why Candice LeRae took a shot before. Maybe this could be the same thing here. And maybe this could be the feud that takes Johnny Gargano out of NXT. You get him a chance into the main roster. So I just don't see what you do next for Johnny Gargano after this. So yeah, with that being said, I think there's something to be made with Johnny Gargano moving up, and I think there's something to be said with Tommaso Ciampa becoming your next NXT champion after Aleister Black. So that's what I personally would do with these two guys moving forward. And that kind of takes me to the Pete Dunne Adam Cole match. Don't know if they're going to have this be a United Kingdom title match or a North American title match. I think it's better suited on, if you want Pete Dunne to win, you have it be a United Kingdom match or title match, and then vice versa. If you want Adam Cole winning, it's North American title. But needless to say, I would love to see maybe Birch and Orny Loken or Orny Lorcan maybe be that tag team to go against the Mighty. And then you can bring back Tyler Bate and Trent Seven to pair up with Pete Dunne, and you can finally have Mustache Mountain and Pete Dunne, or British Strong Style, go against the Undisputed Era. I think that's something I would love to see. And then you can have maybe someone actually take the UK title off Pete Dunne. Don't know who, but maybe it's the winner of the next UK tournament that they're doing. And then you can have Pete Dunne be the guy who takes the North American title off Adam Cole. And then you can have Mustache Mountain be the team that takes the tag titles off Undisputed Era. So, I don't know. But I would love to see those six guys kind of go head-to-head. And then when it comes to the women's title, I think Fatal 4-Way next takeover, I believe that would be the one at the Rumble, is best suited here, where we can see a Lacey Evan, or maybe even a six-pack challenge. Actually, I'll go with that, because they do have the talent for a six-pack challenge match. And the six would be easy. It'd be Shayna Baszler defending her title against Nikki Cross, against Dakota Kai, against Lacey Evans, against Bianca Belair, and Candice LeRae. I think those would be the six girls I would love to see. You get giving them all a chance to shine on a takeover. I don't see a problem with that one. And that would be something that you would be very much appreciative, I think, too, because you want to see these women get that opportunity. And I think, again, like, you're at a learning, or you're kind of not a learning curve, but you're a growing curve with the new crop of women on NXT. And I think it's going to be one of those where, you know, in 5 years, you'll be saying, okay, which one of these girls should be, like, maybe one of these girls haven't been called up, and you're like, it's a travesty she's not called up, and then you're wondering which of these girls should be winning the next main women's title on the main roster. So I think that's kind of the outlook of it. I do kind of like the comparison I made from the four horsewomen that are on main roster, and Sasha Banks, Charlotte, Bayley, and Becky Lynch. And you kind of have your Bianca Belair, who's kind of, you know, a Sasha Banks-esque type personality. You have Dakota Kai, who's your Bayley-type personality. Lacey Evans is kind of like your Charlotte-type personality. I think right now you're trying to find out who your Becky Lynch could be. Very well could be Nikki Cross. So that could very well be something that makes sense. Or it could very well be Candice LeRae too. So, either way, I do think that you have a good group of girls now on NXT that you can actually have a division as well. I don't think it's shot. I just think they need more time to develop. And then down the road, we'll be caring a lot more about these group of women. But when it comes to the Baszler Cross match right now, you know what? I wouldn't even be against Nikki Cross winning the title. Even if it came down to Dakota Kai helping her win the title, and then it took you down to Nikki Cross against Shayna Baszler, Shayna Baszler against Dakota Kai again, and then you have that, could be a six-pack challenge, or you can have two matches where it's Nikki Cross maybe against a heel Candice LeRae. And maybe your end of your next takeover can be Tommaso Ciampa holding the NXT title, and then Candice LeRae in, kind of side by side with him, holding the NXT Women's title. That could be a definite change of the guard right there. So, I don't know. But I do think there's money in there to have Candice LeRae be a heel and be paired up with Tommaso Ciampa. So, I wouldn't mind that at all. And then, yeah, I look at I've been watching some 205 Live lately. And I'm actually impressed with a lot of what I'm seeing. Buddy Murphy, I'm loving a lot. He can only stand to benefit in my eyes right now. As long as he's in that title hunt. I love the fact that Mustafa Ali, Cedric Alexander are also in that. And then you also have Deo Itami, who I think gets forgotten about. But at the end of the day, I love how, you know, he's the forgotten one out of the four, but he reminds you that you shouldn't take your eyes off him. He's dangerous too. So, to me, it's very interesting what they're doing there. I do hope they introduce Cruiserweight Tag Team titles. I think that would add a lot more to the show. And again, I would definitely look at making 205 Live something more similar to what you see on NXT, or as an NXT, opposed to a secondary show that is toured on a SmackDown. That, or have 205 Live open and have SmackDown after 205 Live, because I think 205 Live after SmackDown doesn't help. And obviously you don't want to move 205 to Monday Night Raw. It's just not good. But I do find it funny that the 205 Live division was drafted by Raw originally and has nothing to do with Raw anymore. I do find that funny. So when you had that match where, years past, where you had Neville against Kalisto, I believe it was, and if Kalisto won the title, you move 205 Live to SmackDown. Kind of would have made sense. But, I think that's all right now for this week. It's been over an hour and 12 minutes now. Yeah, I didn't even talk too much about hockey, so maybe I'll convince Maniac to talk more about that for episode 80. So this is it. I guess, I mean, I could do some plugs, but maybe I will let Mike Mallowaney, a.k.a. Mike the Ref. He might get mad at me for saying his name, but, I mean, come on. Put your name out there as GM for Monster Pro Wrestling. So, well, I mean, people know now. Whatever. But yeah, I'll let Mr. Mike the Ref, the Backbreaker Media over there, kind of do all the plugs.
Well, thank you, Mr. Parrish. Hi, everyone. This is Mike Maloney, senior engineer here at Backbreaker Media, as well as Monster Pro Wrestling general manager. To check out all the great podcasts on Backbreaker Media, including The Sounds of Struggle, you can check us out on the Podbean app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, Spreaker, YouTube sucks still. We also have our Twitch channel that is available, twitch.tv/backbreakermedia, as well as our video on demand service at backbreakervod.pivotshare.com. Enter the code TAGSTRUGGLE at checkout for not only a 2-week free trial, but 50% off your first 3-month subscription. And some breaking news coming down the pipe. As of June 14th, 2018, Backbreaker Media is a proud member of the Powerslam.tv family. Over 30 wrestling channels coming together for one low subscription cost and a heck of a lot of entertainment, folks. This will be available as an app on the Apple App Store, as well as the Google Play Marketplace, on all Roku streaming devices, as well as part, and this is the big news, folks, part of the Amazon Prime family of Amazon channels that are available. For all the details, check out powerslam.tv. Now, with all the merchandise ideas, let's send it back over to Chris Parrish here.
And then, currently we're still looking at merch ideas, seeing what we want to do next, working on some new designs. We literally don't have a ground yet of where we want to go off of. So any ideas are appreciated. You can message us on the Facebook, the Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. Oh, yeah, and also make sure you go to whatamaneuver.net. If you do want some gear from us, you can still get original The Struggle gear and Retro WE gear as well. T-shirts, whether it's male T-shirts, female T-shirts, hoodies, baby onesies, tank tops, all that stuff. Go to whatamaneuver.net. Pivot Share, if you're going there, make sure you use the code word tag struggle to get some money back, and then some money off for the next few weeks. It'll be all that good stuff is nailed down on the link below when you listen to The Sounds of Struggle on your on whatever you use to listen to The Sounds of Struggle. We very much appreciate you listen to The Sounds of Struggle. We might be a little on the mental side, but you know you love us. I appreciate you guys staying with me this week. I hope I wasn't that boring. I know I tend to just rant by myself, whereas Maniac and I tend to just be idiots around each other. So that's just how we are. It's who we are. Love us. Hate us. Hate the fact you love us. Love the fact you hate us. It don't matter to us. We just appreciate you listening. I think that does it for episode 79. Don't really have much in terms of, you know, who wore 79 in hockey. The Markov episode, I guess. I don't know. Might have to start a new trend of what we're doing with numbers. I don't know. Maybe we need to look more into the football. I don't know. Not a lot of people are 79. It's kind of a weird number anyway. I know my brother was born in 1979, so maybe it's the Brother Parrish episode. Let's do that. Because, it's my week this week. So, I'm the only say that counts this week. So, yeah. It's the Brother Parrish episode. That's it. I'm Chris Parrish. I'm one half of Tag Struggle. And I will see you next week, where Maniac will be back. He will be hopefully refreshed from his cruise. I bet you his head will get sunburnt, as it likely does when he's out in the heat. So, it'll be fun smacking him on the head next week. And for that, we thank you. We'll see you next week. And we are real. We are spectacular, biatch. And that is it. Later, bitches. And when your heart's pounding out of your chest, you can feel the lips shaking as you're running out of breath. If you're ready to rock, we'll just let it roll. Are you ready now? Are you ready to move? Let's just move.